Welcome to Community Church's Sermon Podcast. We invite you to visit us online at www.ccfdl.org to learn more about our church and our ministry in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. And now here is Adam Utecht, Senior Pastor at Community Church.
This is our last message in our Advent series, A Thrill of Hope. Advent means coming or arrival. We're always in a season of Advent. We're waiting for something. We're always waiting for something. Perhaps you were anticipating the arrival of the iPhone 12 or the PlayStation 5 or maybe one of these hot toys in 2020. Maybe you're hoping that one of these are under the tree right now. Now, good luck. Our culture has been anticipating the advent of the COVID-19 vaccine. And as of this week, it has come. It's here. We're all anticipating the advent of a new normal. We don't know what that'll be like, and we don't know when that will come, but we're still waiting. See, we're always in a season of Advent. We're always waiting for the arrival or the coming of something. Israel anticipated the advent of a Messiah, the anointed king, one who would set them free. Jesus is that Messiah. He came. It's why we celebrate Christmas. He has come, but we're actually between Advents. Did you know that? Jesus has come, but he is coming again. We are living between the first and second Advents. If you've been around Community Church the last several weeks, we've been in this series we're calling A Thrill of Hope. And we've been talking about the redemptive story of the Bible. This book has a large redemptive story. And it starts with creation in Genesis 1. And then you see the fall of sin, the fall of mankind into sin in Genesis chapter 3. And then we see redemption through Jesus Christ alone in the New Testament. And now we're finally in our fourth movement of this grand story of redemption, and that is restoration. Restoration. God created everything in the beginning in Genesis chapter 1. Mankind fell into sin in Genesis 3. And then Jesus came as the Word made flesh, fully God, fully man. He lived the perfect life. He died the death that we should have died and rose again from the grave, proving that he is the Christ and that he is the only one who can provide the way to be redeemed for redemption. So this Christmas Eve, we're going to focus on what is to come. We're in that fourth movement, restoration, full restoration. This restoration will come when Jesus returns. So what will that be like? This is what we're going to talk about on this Christmas Eve. If you have a Bible with you, it might be helpful to turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21, we're going to be looking just at the beginning of Revelation 21, verses 1 through 8. What will this final movement look like? What will restoration look like? Let's see. First, heaven will come down. Heaven will come down. We see that in verses 1 and 2. Look at these verses. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. You know, maybe you grew up with this idea of heaven, and it looked maybe something like this. A cloudy city where people are floating around, strumming harps, spring, and They're singing. Maybe they're in a choir and they're singing the Hallelujah chorus over and over and over again. And there's the pearly gates and St. Peter and all of these pictures that we have. It's somewhere up there in the clouds. That's what we think about when we maybe think about heaven. But the Bible teaches a different reality of what heaven will be like, what restoration, full restoration, will look like. You need to know that that picture of heaven that I described is not really what the Bible portrays at all. Restoration will happen when Satan is defeated and finally cast into hell forever. We see that in Revelation 20, verse 10. And all people, dead or alive, face the final judgment in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. And then, in chapter 21 of Revelation, we see restoration. Heaven will come down. It's described as a new heaven. Did you see that? A new heaven and a new earth. It's described as a city, the new Jerusalem, coming down. So God will bring heaven to earth. And if you read Revelation 22, the last chapter of the Bible, it's clear that the Garden of Eden is renewed and expanded. This is restoration. God is restoring everything like it was in the beginning, in Genesis 1 and 2. We're not going to live for eternity up there somewhere. We're going to live for eternity here. We will have new bodies that never get tired, sick, or die. Our bodies will be restored. All creation will be restored. The wolf will lay down with the lamb. The ground will produce better crops every year. The curse will finally be lifted. The dark shadow will finally be lifted, and everything will be perfect again as it was in the beginning. Heaven will come down. Number two, God will live with humans. Look at verses 3 and 4. I'll read these verses. Verses 3 and 4, then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Then he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away. It's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful picture. You cannot miss the voice in verse 3. Why? Because it says it's loud. It's a loud voice. A loud voice. And what does this voice say in verse 3? God's dwelling place is with humanity. God's dwelling is there. He will live with them. In the beginning, God walked in the garden with the man and the woman before the fall. In the ultimate restoration, God will live with humanity. Jesus did this. He walked among us. We saw that when we looked at John chapter 1, when the Word made flesh and he dwelt among us. That was Jesus. But he only did it for 33 years. He pitched his tent. He dwelt among us. While it was miraculous and amazing, it was only temporary. Heaven on earth will be eternal, and God will live with us forever. Just think about that. I love what verse 4 says. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Every tear. And death will be no more. Grief, crying, pain, forgotten. No more. Because the previous things have passed away. Just imagine that. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Did you know God is aware of our pain? You know God is aware of our tears. Psalm 56, 8 tells us that he has recorded our wanderings and put our tears in his bottle. God is near. He knows our pain. He knows our suffering. And in the restoration, death and grief and crying and pain and evil and loss and sickness, it will be a distant memory. These will pass away. I love the story of the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, where the four children who entered into Narnia had lived there so long, they had forgotten about the world that they had left behind. And when they found the lamppost, they said, it's like a dream. And they said, no, no, it's like a dream of a dream. So distant. It's just a faint memory. In the restoration, the ultimate restoration, God will live with humans and everything will be good. In fact, very good, as it was in the beginning. Number three, everything will be made new. Everything will be made new. Verse 5. Let's look at verse 5. Then the one seated on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. He also said, write, because these words are faithful and true. The one seated on the throne is Jesus. The baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger that we celebrate today is also the conquering King of Kings and Lord of Lords in Revelation chapter 19. He will conquer all evil once and for all and will make everything new. I had a new car once. It was brand new. It smelled new. It looked new. But it did not stay new, unfortunately. It got old. It broke down. The engine eventually burned out. But just think about when you have something that's brand new. What is it like? It's shiny, it's flawless, perfect, it's clean, it works. That's the feeling of eternity with God, except that feeling will never go away. He will continually make all things new. Nothing will be old, nothing will be worn, nothing will be dirty, nothing will fall apart in eternity. He'll make everything new always. It's a beautiful picture. That's the restoration. Number four, we see the invitation. The invitation. It's in verses 6-8. Look at verse 6. It says this. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will freely give to the thirsty from the spring of the water of life. So will this happen? All the things we're talking about, will this happen? You better believe it. Jesus guarantees it in verse 6. He says, it is done. It is as good as done. There's no question. It's in the bag. How do we know? Because Jesus declares that he is the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. And beginning and the end includes everything in between. He has all authority. He has proven himself, and he is trustworthy, so we can trust him. But look again at the invitation. He says, here's the invitation, all who are thirsty may come to the spring of water of life. It's interesting, Jesus uses this language with the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4. She had a rough life and a bad reputation. She had five husbands in her life. And when she spoke with Jesus at the well, she was living with a man who was not her husband. And Jesus told her this in John 4, 13 through 14. He said, everyone who drinks from this water, speaking of the well they were standing by, everyone who drinks of this water will get thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never get thirsty again. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water springing up in him for eternal life. Jesus, of course, is not talking about physical water, but spiritual water. She was going to the wrong well, seeking to be satisfied in the arms of man after man and always coming up dry. Maybe for you, it's something else. Maybe it's technology, the latest technology, or a vehicle, or gaming, or new clothes, or money, or status, or career achievement, affirmation, popularity. The list goes on and on. We are so thirsty And the need is so deep, it's as deep as our souls, but nothing on this earth can satisfy this thirst. So we have to look to something beyond the things of this world. We need God. We need Jesus. He offers to fulfill our deepest need, our deepest desires, but we have to recognize him and trust in him. The woman at the well did. She ran into town and she exclaimed, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" He is. He is the only one who really knows you. He is the only one who can satisfy you and give you purpose and joy. The invitation is in front of you right now. The question is, will you accept it? Will you accept it? Maybe you say, "Well, I want to, but I don't know how." I'll just tell you simply, you need to turn from your sin and turn from yourself and believe on Jesus. Come to him this Christmas and be redeemed. He will redeem you if you turn to him. You can pray a prayer like this. It's as simple as a prayer like this. You can say, "Jesus, I repent of my sin and put my faith in you alone. I'm calling you Lord and Savior from this day forward. Amen." If you prayed this prayer, let us know. Tell us that you're turning to Christ in faith. You can go to our website. You can go to www.ccfdl.org/card and fill out a virtual connect card. Tell us that you are turning to Christ, and we can help you take the next steps of walking with God and how to follow Jesus. Jesus invites us in. I love that. But he doesn't force us in. Look at verses 7 and 8 of Revelation 21. "The one who conquers will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowards, faithless, detestable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their share will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." God is holy and just. He will not allow evil to go on forever. He will judge the wicked. We see this really clearly in verse 8, and it kind of makes us squirm. We don't really like reading this. But in the restoration, all the wicked will be dealt with once and for all. If you have not turned in faith to Christ Jesus, this is your destiny. So I don't want to see that for you. I don't want you to go that way. So I'm begging you this Christmas Eve, repent, turn to Jesus, receive his invitation. Don't wait. Turn to him tonight. Some people may have trouble with a verse like this. They say, "Well, how could a good and loving God condemn people to a lake that burns with fire and sulfur? I can't believe in a God like that." And I understand that. But imagine if you have been victimized, or if you live in another country in which evil rules, and you're oppressed day after day, and you're hurt, and there's no justice. You might feel a little bit differently about a God who will judge the wicked. You see, God is perfectly righteous. It would be wrong for God to not judge those who ardently rebel against him. It would be wrong for God not to judge the wicked. When the restoration comes, all evil will be gone. All evil will be gone. No more tormentors, no more corruption, no more lies, no more abuse, no more scandals, no more oppression. In fact, later in Revelation 21, 25, we see the gates are never closed. The gates of the eternal city, New Jerusalem, they're never closed. Why? Wickedness is gone. In fact, there will be no more night. Think about all the bad things that happen at night. No more. In the restoration, all will be well, total security, complete rest, No more worries, no more pain, no more coronaviruses, no more conspiracies or even conspiracy theories, no more racism or hatred or divisions. All is as it should be forever, forever. Well, that's too good to be true. You might say that, but not in the restoration. That phrase, too good to be true, won't exist in the restoration. We could say, it is so good, it must be true. It is so good, it must be true. That's the picture of the restoration. All this was accomplished by that baby Jesus asleep on the hay. The angels knew. This is why they sang, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to people he favors. He favors you. And if you have trusted in Christ, this is your future reality for eternity. Savor that reality this Christmas. Take your eyes off this broken world and look at the restoration. It is certain. Jesus said it himself. It is done. All we have left to do is praise him. Pray with me. God, we thank you so much for this picture, this reality that is already done. It's what Jesus accomplished at the cross and in his resurrection, that we too will be raised to new life in you. And we look forward to the day when all wrongs will be made right, when you will restore your creation, and we will live with you, and you will live with us for eternity. Help us to keep our eyes on that reality and live in that victory. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for your Spirit who helps us understand who you are. We pray that we would glorify your name this Christmas. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.